2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. We will go all the way through 18. I just will not take the time to read that at this time. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I believe God give us this because he knows as being soldiers, we're in a war, it is tough, but so many soldiers want to drop out and quit. And he wanted us to stay in the battle, and he wanted to give us some comfort. I want to give you a couple, two, three things that will comfort you this morning, or it should comfort you, if you are a soldier of Jesus and you stay in the battle until the end. I want you to know this. The Lord was looking and he made us and said, look, I know you're going to get tired. I know nobody likes to have to fight every single day. I know that Satan is going to attack, but there are some things that I want to let you know will comfort you if you'll stay in the battle. In verses 6 and 7 that we read, I believe he was trying to tell us that if you stay in the battle, there is a good finish to life. A good finish to life. Paul was viewing his upcoming death. He knew he was going to go on trial. He knew he was going to be killed. But he was viewing his death as a pouring out of his life as an offering to God. Let me tell you this. Our life should be an offering to God every single day. Every single day. That's what he has made us for, and that's what it should be. Not who are we pleasing at work, are we pleasing ourselves, but are we pleasing him? Is it an offering to him? In the Old Testament, there was a feast called the Feast of First Fruits. I won't go into everything, but it was pretty much with the harvest. And during that time, one of the requirements that God had said was that you would take out a drink offering and pour it upon the grain offering as a symbol of joy. As a symbol of joy. God is saying, and Paul was trying to say, that he was pouring out, getting ready to pour out his life. And he wanted God to understand to him that was going to be a symbol of joy. Wouldn't that be wonderful that you could sit there and say, even if I have to give my life for Jesus, and I don't want to scare anybody because I guess I was tougher last week than I thought, but with the way things are going, I do want you to be aware, there may be a time that we have to give our lives for the cause of Christ here in America, okay? It may not be in a few years, but if you watch and see what's going on, which group is the most hated by the liberals and that group? Born-again believers. That's the ones that are. They think that we are the ones that are keeping them from having a good time. And I don't know what more they could want to do than what they're doing now, but there may be a time where pastors are taken to prison or actually killed for the cause of Christ. There may be a time when each of us may have to do that. Paul had realized his time was coming up, and he said, I am ready to pour out my life as an offering of joy to the Lord. Can you say you're willing to do that this morning? It's a comfort. God has said there's a good finish to life and you should be ready to do it and make that a joy to do for the Lord. Paul said in verses 6 and 7, or excuse me, 7 and verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He was looking back over his life and he said, I have fought a good fight. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28, and I won't take the time to read all of them, but I will read a couple of them. Paul was remembering what he had gone through for the Lord. And believe me, it's a lot more than most of us have had to go through. He just said, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside all those things that are without, those that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul said, I'm looking back on my life and I realized all the battles that I have gone through, yet I fought a good fight. I didn't quit. They left me for dead, came back, and I just went ahead. And if you read, after he was stoned, he thought he was dead. He came back to life, and he went and just started preaching again. He kept the good fight going, kept a good fight. That means we just got to keep on fighting. We have to keep on. We can't quit. We've got to go ahead. And God says if there's a good finish to life. Paul was ready to do this because why? He knew he was going to get to see his Savior as soon as that happened. What did he tell us? To be absent from the body is what? To be present? Okay. So Paul said, man, what are you going to do? Threaten me with death? I'm just going to get to see the Lord. I'm going to get to see the Lord. That's all right with me. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. He also said he had finished his course. And I believe he was saying he had stayed on his course as well. He kept his map out of the straight and narrow. And he kept on going and going and going. And he didn't veer to the left or to the right. Bear with me just a second. I know our pastor is Pastor Ross. But Pastor Robert Ross was not only a good friend, but was my mentor. And so when I mention Pastor Ross here in the next few minutes, that's who I'm speaking about. Instead of having to say Pastor Robert Ross all the time, that's who I'm speaking of. I thought of him when I was doing this, and I thought of some different things. I'd got to know him in maybe a little different way than some of you have. He's the one that had recommended me to go to Temple Baptist, and when things would get tough, I would call him. And I would say, what did I ever do to you that you would want to do this to me? And Pastor Ross, if you got to know him, he'd chuckle a little bit. And his first response was always, what problem are you having right now? And so I would tell him, but bless his heart, he would listen. And he always said this, and it stays with me to this day, always will. He said, do what the Lord tells you, but this is what I would do. And he would tell me, and what he told me was always the right thing, and that's what I always did. Always did that. I got to know him a little bit, and I know he had problems, some struggles here. You didn't know it. But he would tell me different times of things that had gone on and how his heart was broken. He would tell me, this family that I put so much time in, Brother Simpson, they left. And he said, it broke my heart. And he said, maybe I shouldn't even say this, but I don't think he'll mind. He said, I went home and I cried. And I thought, what more could I have done? Lord, I put so much into these people, and yet they have gone. I thought of times when he told me the story. He said, don't worry if they say things about you. He said, there was a rumor going around that, and praise God, and listen, ladies, don't ever be offended of this because it's biblical and what he preached and what our pastor preaches is right. He was preaching about dress when it comes to church and how a lady should dress, how a man should dress, but this was for a woman. He said, there was a rumor going around in the town that a lady had come to our church in slacks. And that I had a couple of men grab her and physically take her arm and throw her out the door because we didn't want her in the church because she wasn't dressed right. By the way, he didn't do that, so don't wonder he didn't. But he said it was hard. He said, because they were saying things that weren't true. But I believe this with all my heart, and I know this to be a fact. When he finished his course, he was still with the map in his hand going forward on the straight and narrow. He'd never gone off to the left. He'd never gone off to the right. He just kept on going. And praise God, he could sit there and say, Lord, here's the map you give me. This was the course I stayed on, and I never veered to the left or right, no matter what. I kept on going. And God said, well done. Well done. I believe when he got to heaven that the Lord told him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. You see, he wants to give us comfort to let us know that if you fight the good fight, you can finish the course the way you started. Now, if you get off to the left or to the right, and most of us have, you can still get back on. Just get on that course, get that map, and stay on the straight and narrow and keep on going. And just don't veer off. Don't let Satan get to you. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. And he said, and I've kept the faith. I have kept the faith. In this day and age, that's so important. It means he was obedient to it. He was obedient to the word of God, to the faith, and whatever it was, that's what he did. He passed it on as he received it with no changes. I'm just going to tell you this because I've had to fight this, and there's a big fight going on. Not so much here, and praise God, but understand in fundamental churches, there's a fight going on as to which Bible they should use. Let me just tell you this. You have to make up your own mind. But I believe the King James Version is the Bible God has given to us as English-speaking people. That is the one that he has and that we should use. And that's what I preach out of. That's what I study. If you want to know if is this inspired or not, go home and try to memorize about 6 or 7 verses out of any other version and see how easy it is. Even Jack Van Impe, who has switched over in so many areas, guess what version he quotes when he goes and does all his stuff? King James. King James. Why? Because that's what God has given us. You can memorize those verses because they're from God. Anyway, pass it on to your kids. You know, your kids are someday going to be the leaders of this church. If God doesn't come back. Even if they're not here, the beliefs they have are what they are going to get at home from mom and dad. They really are. Now, they're going to get tested. They're going to get torn apart in school. So they have to know what it is. Make sure that you pass it on as you receive it with no changes. I used to go with the church and with the kids especially. I'd say, how many ways are there to be saved? And the kids would raise their hand or they'd point up, one. There's only one way. Because guess what? How many ways are there to be saved? Oh, that's sad. That's sad. Okay. For the one that is the loudest, I'll give him $1. No, that's what I used to do with my class down there. There's only one. I want you to know it. There's only one way to be saved. Can you earn your way to heaven? No, you can't. Can you buy your way? No, you can't. There's only one. Well, we have to know, okay, how many ways to be saved? How many ways to be baptized? Guess what? There's only one. There's only one, and it's by immersion. You better know that. What are the two ordinances of the church? I'm not going to embarrass anybody this morning, but let me just tell you this. You should be able to, if I give you a pen and paper, write down all 66 books of the Bible. Now, spelling, I'll give you a little bit on that, because there's a few books in the Bible that are a little tough to spell, but you should be able to say all 66 books of the Bible. Guess what? The Mormons know their Bible, the Book of Mormon. The Jehovah's Witnesses are all messed up, but they know their part. Shouldn't we at least know all 66 books of the Bible? We should. We should be able to sit there and just go, boom, Genesis, Exodus, I won't go through all of it, but you should know them. How are your children going to know? You're going to have to teach them. You bring them to a church that they're taught that, but at home, let me understand this. home is where they're going to spend most of their time, home and school. So you're going to have to counteract everything, and they're going to have to learn, and they're going to have to know Scripture, they're going to have to know the Bible, they're going to have to know these things, and they're going to get it from you. Paul said, I've kept the faith, I have obeyed it, and I've passed it on as I have received it with no changes. That's what I liked about Pastor Ross and our Pastor Jerry Ross. They don't change anything. If it's in the Bible, they're going to preach it. Now, you may not like it. Listen, there's a lot of things in here that any pastor could tell you they'd rather not have to preach because it's not going to make people happy. They're not going to say, amen, boy, that's good. Oh, let's just have a year on tithing. Boy, I just can't get enough of that. No, you're not going to get that too often. But you got to teach it. You got to preach it. God put it in there. But you've got to teach your kids at home, your grandkids. You have to live your life keeping the faith, and you got to pass it on as you receive it with no changes. Because why? There's a good finish to life. I had a great grandma. Her name was Cleo Cole. Right before she was going to go to heaven, they had sent her home and they said, there's nothing more we can do, and you might make her comfortable. So she was with my grandma and grandpa, and they were living there, and they got a hospital bed. They put her in it. And right before she was going to go to heaven, they were taking shifts being with her. My mom and dad were with her that night. It's probably about 2 in the morning. And my grandma, who hadn't been talking too much and was laying back, all of a sudden sat up in her bed and her eyes got real big. And she looked over at the lampshade and she pointed to it and she said, oh, look, there's 3 angels sitting on the lampshade. And then she laid back down and went to heaven. Now, were they there to take her? I don't know. But she got to see 3. But I believe the reason she did is because every time I would see my great-grandma, if she wasn't doing needlepoint, she was sitting there reading her Bible. Reading her Bible. She read it through at least twice, maybe 3 times a year. She would take notes. At 79 years old, she went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. She was the first one, when they started church-wide soul winning, she was the first one to sign up that she would go. And she went, as often as she could. God says you can have a good finish to life. A good finish to life. If you came to the viewing for Pastor Ross, I got here and I thought, well, I'll be able to get in and out. Bless Mrs. Ross. I don't know. Her feet are probably still hurting from standing up all that time. It took me an hour to get from the back all the way up to the front, and there was another hour behind me, and there had been hours ahead and everything. You say, wow, I wonder why. Let me just tell you why. Because God says there's a good finish to life. He had fought a good fight. He'd finished the course, and he kept the faith. And he taught his children the same thing. He taught his children the same thing. That's what we've got to do. God says, there's some comfort if you're a soldier. Don't fall by the wayside. Don't quit. I'm going to give you some comfort. Maybe you'll get to see some angels as my grandma did right before she went to heaven. The second thing he said is, in verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge. I always laugh at that because I don't think there is such a thing in America anymore. But the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me all that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Paul saying, you know, there's a good future after life. You know, whether you think this life is great or not, let me just tell you, you've got something ahead of you that is wonderful. A good future after life. We're going to have eternity with our God and Savior. Man, my mind can't grasp what we can do forever. I just sit there and think, man, I know I'm going to get bored. That's why I have to have a new mind, because I can't think, what are we going to do for 1 million years? For 2 million? For 10 million? I don't know. I just hope it's not, I hope my job isn't to cut the grass, okay? Because that's going to be a long time. You looked, I just cut that a minute ago. No, you got more. I don't know what it's going to be, but whatever it is, we're going to be doing it forever. We're going to be spending eternity with God, our God and Savior. We're going to have a mansion with streets of gold. We're going to be reunited with our loved ones. How many this morning can raise their hand with me and say, you have a loved one in heaven that maybe you've been away from for a while, but you can't wait to get to see him again? How many? Amen. Isn't it great that we've got that hope that those that we loved here on earth and that they're saved, we're going to be with them in heaven? You didn't know my dad, but my dad loved to tell stories. And I got a feeling when I get to heaven, after I've spent about 1 million years just with the Lord, he's going to come and take me and say, look, let me introduce you to all these people. Boy, you've got some good stories. Here's Gideon. Here's this guy. Boy, you've got some neat stories. And maybe some Christians that we didn't even know about that have done great things that the world never said anything, but they're going to be there and have a wonderful story to share. Reunited with loved ones, mansions. And he said, this is my favorite part in Revelation 21:4. I won't take the time. You can turn to it if you want. You know what it is. But it says there'll be no more tears. Won't that be great? No more crying at all. No tears. No death. Amen. That means no cancer, no leukemia, no whatever disease that is out there that doctors sit there and shake their heads. I wish there was something we can do. We can't just make them comfortable. None of that. No sorrow. No broken hearts. No crying. No pain. Let me just tell you this morning, there are people in this room that have physical pain that are here this morning. They'll never tell you. They'll smile. They come. They sit. But they're in pain. There's also a lot of people here that have heart pain this morning. They won't tell you that. They won't tell you their heart's breaking. They won't tell you what's happened. They won't let you know what's about to happen. But God says when we get to heaven, no pain. No pain at all. All of it's going to be taken away. And praise God, it's just going to be a joyful time up there. And he said, I just want you to know this. As a soldier, I want to give you some comfort. Let me put this in the very end of the Bible so that you know it's worth it. It's worth it. What a future to look forward to for the saved soldier. Oh, if you're saved this morning, that's a great future. That's a great future. If you're not saved, let me tell you this. You need to get saved. You just need to accept the Lord. He said, I've done it all. All you have to do is accept me and you can have that comfort. The last thing that Paul was telling us in verses 9 through 18, and I won't read it, is for the good soldier of Christ, is that you can have good friends in life before you go. Good friends in life. They named 6 that were still with Paul that he said, boy, these guys are still there and they're doing this for me. He had one that left him, Demas. Are you going to have friends and maybe even save friends that leave you because of your belief or because of your stand or whatever reason? You will. You will. And you'll sit there and say, I don't understand, and you won't. Paul just said Demas had left him for the present world. He liked everything going on in the world instead of being with what Paul had. Paul said, I give it up. Don't matter to me. I've got my eyes on the prize, on the goal. I'm going to keep on going. You may have somebody leave you, but praise God. That's why I said it's so important to be in a good, fundamental, independent Baptist church that preaches God's word, because you can have a family if you have the right pastor, and we do, that will keep everybody together, and you can be a family and you can have friends. If you work in the world, and most of us do, it's a cutthroat situation. Or if you want to be their friend, you've got to do what they want, and they have nothing in common with you. Praise God, we can have friends that believe the same way and love the Lord like we do, and we can be in church together. Paul's trial was getting ready, and it had already opened. And Paul said he didn't have anybody standing with him. Here's what I want you to understand. You can have good friends in life, but even if all your friends leave you, Paul said the Lord still stood with him and strengthened him. Sometimes you're not going to have any earthly friends by you, but praise the Lord, he will be with you at all times, and he will strengthen you, and he'll be there. Sometimes you just look around and you say, where is everybody? And you can just hear the Holy Spirit say, hey, I'm still here. We're still here with you. Keep on going. Keep on going. Encourage your pastor. Let me just say this. Our pastor is great, has a great sense of humor, can find something funny most of the time, but he's human. And sometimes he just needs to know you're behind him or you're there if he needs you. Encourage him. That's all. I know you do. You bring mugs and that, and that's great. But sometimes it's just nice to go to him and just say, look, I love you. I'm praying for you. Or if you need anything, let me know. Be there for him. Be a friend. Pastor Ross was my mentor, but he was a friend of mine. He was my friend. And sometimes when I knew everybody else or no one else was around, I could call him. I remember Mrs. Ross, bless her heart. She'd say, he's out there with the cows, but I'll get him. And I'd say, okay, I'll hold on. And I don't know how far the cows were from where the phone was. I still don't. But she'd go out there and he'd come in and he'd just say, no, I wasn't doing anything important. How can I help? Why? Because he was a friend to this preacher. Be a friend and a mentor to someone. If you sit there and say, well, my kids are grown, my grandkids are grown, find somebody here that needs what you have, what you've been through, how you can do it, and be their friend, be their mentor, and just say, look, I'm there for you. I'll help you. God says, if you're going to stay in the battle, I'm going to give you a few things to help you as a comfort, as a soldier of Christ. Just keep on going and have a good finish to life. I'm going to give you a good finish. I remember at my dad's funeral, I don't know how many unsaved people came by and said, how did they get such an expression on his face? We've never seen an expression like that. How did they do that? And we got a chance to say, you know what? It wasn't the guy at the funeral home that did this. I believe he got to see the Lord right before he left, and he had such an expression of peace because he knew where he was going. He had a good finish to life. He had a good future afterlife. That's why they say, do you wish that so-and-so was back? I'd say, well, there's times I wish they were back, but they would sit there and say, I don't want to come back. You mean I got to leave up here and go back to earth and be there? No, there's no way. Why don't you come on up here? And that's what I always try to do. I try to keep my eyes open. Keep your eyes open. Love the appearing of the Lord. Love the appearing of the Lord. Look for it every single day and say, instead of when it's 95 degrees and it's 105 on the heat index and you're out there working and you're sweating and that and saying, boy, Lord, this would be a good time for you to come back, okay? Or when it's 10 below and you say, Lord, this would be a good time. Do it when everything is going good and you still say, Lord, this would be a good day for you to come. Be a good day for you to come. I want you to find me doing what I'm supposed to do, but I sure can't wait to get to see you. I miss you. There's a reward for that. There's a reward. If we'll change our life and teach and mentor, God says if we'll stay in the battle, we can be a good soldier. He's got some comfort for us. And I pray you'll keep this in mind the next time Satan comes and tries to discourage you or tries to say, just quit. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you know us. You know that we need comforting. You know that we need encouraging. And Lord, you have given us things that we can look at in the Bible to say, oh, wow. Wow, this is great. It's not so bad. I'll keep on going. Thank you for those that in my life, Lord, stayed on the path, the straight and narrow, didn't change anything. Lord, they just kept on going. Thank you for those people. They've meant so much. Lord, help me to be like that and help everyone here this morning to be that kind of a soldier. Oh, help us, Lord, just to look for your appearing, to love it. Lord, it could be today. Oh, we love you, Lord. Thank you for this time. Bless our pastor as he comes, the message to follow. And Lord, we pray most of all, if there's one that's not saved, that today they'll give their heart to you. Thank you for this church. Most of all, thank you for our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.